Hey, Michigan, let's talk golf. Here's Mike Sullivan, the most inconsistent golfer ever.
In your life, have you seen anything like that?
And Kyle Bogey, wait, how can a guy with that name host a golf show? We'll never know.
Better than most.
It's the Metro Detroit Golfers Podcast.
Powered by our presenting partner, Hall Financial.
Well, here we are, another episode of the Metro Detroit Golfers Podcast, Bogey, Sully, and we are joined by a good friend of ours, a guy that we have gotten to know and have played a lot of golf with over the last several years, Mr. David Hall of Hall Financial. D. Hall, what's going on?
Tell you what, it's just an honor to be with you guys here on the show. Two young guys doing big things and still talking to me. I appreciate that, you know.
Now, D. Hall, you've been on.
It means a lot.
You've been awesome over the years, and let's just get into it because we played golf with you, and you know, one of the things that's just crazy to me is that you have taken up golf with left-handed and right-handed. It's remarkable. So I think people would be fascinated just to hear that in itself of how you play left-handed and right-handed. If you do it every round, every other round, how does it work?
Well, I don't know who's fascinated with that. I think maybe it's just you, but I played my whole life right-handed, but I'm actually a lefty. And it's just a long story how it all happened. But basically, I would be kind of just screwing around with it left-handed. I played hockey left-handed. I played baseball left-handed. I throw left-handed, so it kind of feels natural to me. My hands go on the grip a little better left-handed, believe it or not. And so it's just I grew up playing right-handed, but I'm really a lefty. So I would kind of go out and have fun with it and screw around a little bit left-handed and got to be decent. And so it's just been something I've just dabbled with, and it's kind of been a funny thing. No intention really, other than, you know, if I'm playing with some higher handicapper guys and they don't mind me playing left-handed, we have a better game that way. And if I'm playing in a tournament or something, I play right-handed because I'm a lot better right-handed than left-handed. My left-handed game needs some work. So just been kind of one of those, I don't know, it's a funny thing. I don't even know how that all happened, but
I'll tell you this. It's a very humbling thing when you go out on the golf course and, you know, people automatically assume that we're, you know, decent enough golfers because we host a golf podcast and we got the Metro Detroit Golfers thing going on. But you go out on the course and you play with D. Hall and you see him hitting better shots left-handed than you can hit with your dominant right hand. I'm not going to – it's fun. I love playing with you. It kind of sucks a little bit. It makes you feel terrible.
Let me tell you something. I got a story because I was with Bogey when he made his first ever hole in one.
That
was
the
first
hole. I've heard about that before. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was December. We were playing golf in December together a couple of years back, and the guy makes a hole in one. You should have seen how happy he was, Sully. I mean, he was,
and he still talks
over
about
the moon, huh?
He still talks about it every single day.
Yeah. It was amazing.
I'm reminded of it every day because the passcode to actually get into my phone is 120217, the date that I got my hole-in-one with you.
That's it. It was big time. It was a great shot, too. It wasn't some fluky shot. I mean, it was right at the flag, and there's a little hump in front, so we couldn't really see it go in, but I knew it had a chance. I think I sort of called it on the tee.
You did. No, you were like – that might be in, folks, if I recall properly what the quote was. By the way, Sully's head is exploding that he's hearing this story from someone else now.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. As if he doesn't need to tell the story again. That's right.
No, guys, can we just talk about some current events in golf for a quick second?
Please.
Yeah.
I wanted to discuss this whole Sergio Garcia putting with his eyes closed thing. I don't know how much you guys saw of this, but, I mean – Sergio is an interesting sort of a figure in the game of golf. You know, he grew up as sort of a prodigy, had some real early success, and then, you know, really, you know, had some struggles, both, you know, in terms of living up to all the hype. And then he wins the Masters, and it was almost like this, it was weird that everybody was sort of rooting for him because he wasn't really a guy you rooted for, but I think everybody was happy for him. He just says some goofy things, and for him to, like, say that he's putted with his eyes closed all these times. But no, he wasn't. I watched him play, and he wasn't putting with his eyes closed when he says he was. I mean, he's just a very interesting guy. You guys notice that?
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of interesting guys on tour, but the only time I've actually seen anyone putt with their eyes closed is if they're just totally messing with you and, you know, you're betting or something, and they just want to mess around and putt with their eyes, because I can't imagine that's actually real.
So, no, yeah. Well, I was just gonna say, it's Sergio. There's Bryson. There's all these guys who just kind of they go to the beat of their own drum, and maybe it's just because it's an individual sport, so you kind of have to find what works for you, and you got to be quirky. I don't get why there's so many different types of guys like that.
Well, I just feel like when these guys, like Sergio, got put on the spot. What tournament did he just win? Shriners or something?
Sanderson Farms or whatever.
Sanderson Farms, that's it,
He said, you know, you're putting with your eyes closed. And I believe he was doing it in that tournament. But then he almost made it – I don't forget his exact comment. He made it sound like that he putted with his eyes closed the whole time when he won the Masters. No, he didn't. He didn't do that. I don't know why he says that. Guys like him or Bryson – they're just not likable guys, you know, whereas like Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy, very likable people, you know, and they, I feel like part of like being revealing about yourself or telling the truth is very likable. And like sort of this, I know more than you sort of attitude. And Phil went through that a little bit. Well, although he's cleaned up his image a little bit. Right. Right, it's just not likable.
Well, this has to be killing Sully right now, because he loves Bryson. Oh, loves Bryson.
Pounds the ball. Just it's the guy, you talk about beating your own drum. He works hard, and he truly just does not give a damn what people think about him, and he just goes and plays his game. And on that level, I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah. He's just got it's hard to put your finger on with Bryson what it is, but he's almost got sort of this – he's like a big 12-year-old, you know. He's just like kind of got this immaturity about him. But at the same time, you got to respect how hard he works.
Oh, yeah.
You got to respect the fact that he's just really focused on doing things his way. But just sort of the way he kind of conducts himself, and even his reactions to his made shots are almost childlike. You know what I mean? It's like he's like a big kid.
How about all your years playing golf? You ever seen a swing like Matthew Wolf? That's speaking of quirky.
No. I'll tell you, I mean, I've seen some goofball swings from some guys, but he's really, that's something else. I mean, and I, you know, you, because I follow it, you know, when he was at Oklahoma State, early on, the coaching staff at Oklahoma State obviously knows what they're doing, and they had sort of commented, we've never seen a talent like this. And that's like code for look out. This guy's going to be awesome. And he has been. I think there's big things from that guy to come, and it's fun to watch him play. I mean, I like watching him play.
What do you think, by the way? I know you play golf in Florida up here. That's something a lot of people in Michigan do as well. Biggest difference, Florida golf versus Michigan golf?
Well, a couple differences. I mean, I think, you know, the wind just blows in Florida. I feel like the ball goes a little shorter in Florida. You know, the courses are flatter. There's not as much typically – it's not like the golf courses in Michigan have more character and a little bit more pizzazz to them. But I think that the thing about Florida is, for whatever reason, like the wind is stronger. Like a 10 or 15 mile an hour wind in Florida is a big deal. Like a 10 or 15 mile. And I don't know what that's about. I got to talk to Brandon Rue from Channel 4 or something like that, like a meteorologist, to figure out what that's all about. Feels like a 2 or 3 club wind. I don't know what that's all about.
Well, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time, D Hall. Obviously, I want to send a special shout out to Sergio for giving me the excuse next time I three putt. Sorry, guys, I had my eyes closed. My bad.
Yeah.
Spit
in the cup when you're done, too. Nice work.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, hey, we're excited to continue the partnership. Obviously, can't wait to keep growing the Metro Detroit Golfers podcast, and love everything that you guys are doing with us, especially at hallmdg.com. If you guys haven't checked it out, please do. D Hall, always great to talk to you.
Hey, just want to say, I think that, you know, what you guys are doing for the Michigan golf community is awesome. That's one of the reasons we got so involved. You guys are great, but I think that you guys are really taking care of an underserved community, and you guys figured out how to do it in a way that nobody else has figured out yet. And I think it's just going to grow. And next time you guys let me on, I think, you know, maybe 2022 or whenever that is, we'll talk about Tiger versus Jack. Who's the best of all time? I've got some very important points for Bogey to latch onto. I know what a Tiger slappy he is.
And I know how passionate you'll get about it. Oh, gosh.
I'll get fired up.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. I mean, that's just unbelievable. Totally unprompted as well for D Hall to bring up my hole in one. I hate to go back to it, but you know, I love the fact that he was there. I actually, in my house, I have the ball mounted and I have a Hall Financial ball repair marker in it next to it. So just what a great day. Appreciate D Hall bringing that up.
And I'm also glad you just told everyone what your phone passcode is. So if you ever get your hands on Kyle's phone, you know that he just told you exactly what the passcode is. You can log in, get his credit card information.
Yeah.
All of it. But no, thank you, DL, for having us on. That was great. Just not only a great guy, but also been a great friend and partner to us over the years and very supportive. Said some very nice words, which we appreciate. But guys, make sure you do check out hallmdg.com. I just had a phone call actually earlier today with Chris from Hall Financial about refinancing. The rates right now are unbelievable. So at the very least, check it out. That's hallmdg.com. Now, Kyle, I am excited for the next person we're about to have on today's podcast. And you know what? I want to be very clear about this. This interview was done September 24th. All right. So Jeremy Roenick was awesome. We had some great conversation with him, some great just chat about him playing golf locally. Certainly, he told some great stories about President Trump, a great story about Michael Jordan. And to have a guy like that, a sports legend on like Jeremy Roenick, it was really cool.
Well, look, you know it's going to be a good interview when you immediately get onto, you know, the Zoom and Jeremy Roenick is sitting there beachside, margarita in hand, sunglasses on, and ready to just have a great conversation about golf. And I mean, he was unbelievable. We're hoping to play with him at Indian Wood here in the next couple of weeks, if not, maybe next year. But great guy, a lot of stories. And I was surprised at how many connections he has actually to the Detroit area. So a must listen, some great stories, great conversation with Jeremy Roenick here on the Metro Detroit Golfers Podcast.
All right, well, Metro Detroit Golfers Podcast, it is awesome to be joined by just a hockey legend, a sports legend, Jeremy Roenick. Looks like you're having a great time out in the sun right now. Jeremy, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. No matter where I am, any friend of Chris Blaine, and when we're talking golf, I will be on, and I'm going to say hi from Catalina.
So, God, I'm jealous.
So many palm trees.
Well,
incredible.
And thank you, by the way. Shout out to Chris Blaine, who hit me up on Facebook, said, hey, how about Jeremy Roenick getting him on? And it was awesome. And it's funny. So a good friend of mine, Justin Edgar, belongs at Indian Wood, and he Snapchatted me and said, hey, look at this leaderboard. Jeremy Roenick's playing it. And I said, wait, Jeremy Roenick's playing at Indian Wood? So I guess that's a perfect place to start, Jeremy. Just start talking about, you know, Indian Wood and you playing golf locally, obviously, you know, Chris and just playing golf here in Metro Detroit, huh?
Let me just say, I probably have as many friends in the Detroit area as I do anywhere else in the country, even Chicago, which is pretty amazing. Chris and I met in Pebble Beach at the Lexus Charity Challenge about 10 or 11 years ago. One of the best tournaments of all time, by the way, if you haven't been a part of the Lexus Charity Tournament out in Pebble Beach. You play Spyglass, Spanish Bay, and Pebble in 3 days. And happened to run into Chris sitting in the bar, and they were playing a little BS poker or liar's poker, right? And my buddy and I asked to join him. Next thing you know, Chris Blaine and I become great friends, and he says, hey, come to Detroit, play golf. I'm like, what? Detroit? When am I going to go to Detroit and play golf for? He's like, bro, Michigan golf is the best in the country. And, you know, I've never really played any golf in Michigan. So I went there and went to Indian Wood and absolutely fell in love with the place. I fell in love with the membership. I met so many great guys from Indian Wood that I'm still great friends with, probably about 10 or 15 guys that I travel with and play golf with. But, you know, the old course, the new course, it can handle any type of player that you want, whether it's a +5 handicapper or a 25 handicapper. That's what I like about Indian Wood. It's a good feel-good club that has great golf. And then I obviously went up to Oakland Hills, played up there. Actually shot 67 there with Blainer one year. And
wow.
Yeah, it's I love coming to Detroit. I come there probably twice a year, play as much golf as I possibly can. He's still trying to get me up to Crystal Downs and a couple other places that are around there.
It's an awesome golf state, and I appreciate you saying that. I mean, we just have so much golf here. I think it is an underrated golf state, and you know, I feel like we're mentioning Indianwood and Oakland Hills on every single podcast we do. We were actually at Oakland Hills talking about their renovations. It's going to be 7,700 yards, which will just be incredible when they get a U.S. Open again. But as Kyle and I were talking about earlier, I know that you've played, you've got to play golf with so many people. You've got to play golf with the president even, and how is something like that, playing golf with the president, with Secret Service, that's got to be just an experience in itself.
Unbelievable. And let me tell you, he's one of the most fun guys to play with, because he is extremely generous. He's extremely complimentary. He loves to talk. So a lot of the time he's talking and telling you stories and telling you about things that he's doing and things that are happening. And he's a good golfer, to tell you the truth. I mean, he can hit the ball really well. He's a great chipper. He likes to nag at you, likes to throw little bets at you. I have a picture of myself and him. I'm in the middle of 14 fairway. It's the longest par four at his course in Bedminster, and one of the hardest. And he bet me I couldn't get home in two from the championship tee. And I pounded one down the middle about 300. I had 235 in, and he pulls up right next to me, and he's sitting in his cart, in his presidential cart, about 5 feet from me, just chirping me. You can't do it. There's no way you can do it. You're gonna duck hook this left. And I BB one over the trees and land about 10 feet.
Oh.
And he looks at me and he goes, "Now that's impressive, kid. That's impressive." And I'll tell you another story, which is awesome. This was 2 weeks ago when I was playing with the president. 2 weeks ago. We're standing on the 11th tee box, and all of a sudden, Secret Service come running onto the tee box. They surround us and surround him more so. So, "Mr. President, we might have to get you out of here." Up comes the, the tank. Up comes all the cars right next to their two box. They could whisk them away. We have an air breach. A plane has come into our airspace, and all of a sudden you see the Cessna fly into our airspace. The president's like, where is it? And the Cessna comes into the airspace. Within 30 seconds, you have F-15s fly in and perch the wings of this thing and start throwing red air flares at this plane that breached the airspace.
Oh,
and I bet you the person that was flying that Cessna shit his pants like seeing these F-15s surround them, right? And all of a sudden they push them off to the side and take them to the nearest airport and land them. He probably got arrested. But then the Secret Service say, "Okay, Mr. President, everything's safe, continue with your golf game," right? And it was so impressive. And then the president turns to me and the two guys we're playing with, and he goes, "Gentlemen, now that's power."
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Then he striped him right down the middle after that. So
incredible.
Nothing bothers this man. Nothing bothers this man.
And he is, love that.
He's a true gentleman and a true gentleman.
Does it get a little awkward with the Secret Service being around, in those instances? Like, you hear stories about, former presidents playing pickup basketball, and, you never want to get too close or anything like that. Like, are the Secret Service guys okay? Do they kind of leave you alone, or is it weird?
They're all behind. There's about 35 golf carts that stay, about 100 yards back of where we are, of where the president's playing. So you're not alone. You're playing around a lot of eyes and a lot of people watching. And literally, they close the golf course, and there are snipers in the trees. There are bird's nests with people sitting around just watching everything that's going on. And they have these little cameras all over the golf course that kind of turn, and the radar, right? And they find out wherever, what any kind of movement they're seeing around the golf course. It's the security he has is the most impressive thing I've ever seen, ever.
See, and that's incredible. And you know, Jeremy, I got to do this to you. I hope you don't get mad at me for asking this, because I'm sure you've told this story several times. But I have to ask you, because I know that a lot of our audience still isn't super familiar with the story that you've told, the incredible story, one of the best golf stories I've ever heard, about playing golf with Michael Jordan before 36 holes, I believe it was, before one of his games. Can you just Cliff Note version of that?
Well, it was in April, and it was actually one of those years where the weather turned really, really warm early. So it was early April, right before the playoffs were getting ready to start for both basketball and hockey. We had the day off on Monday, and I got a call from Michael Jordan on Sunday night saying, meet me at the golf course tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And I'm like, Michael, you got a game tomorrow night. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. You know, this is one of their best years that they ever had, right? So they have already clinched a playoff spot, I think, about a month and a half early. And, you know, so it really didn't matter to him. But we played a place called Sunset Ridge. And I got there at 7 o'clock, and we moseyed around 18 holes. We probably finished around 10:30. And, you know, I beat him for a couple dimes, and was getting ready to leave. He's like, hey, let's play again. And I'm like, really? Like, you play it, you have a game at like 7 o'clock tonight. He's like, that's all right. We can zip around. He orders two cases of beer. We go out and play another 18. I beat him for another couple dimes. And as we're leaving, it's like 3 o'clock right now. He's getting picked up, getting taken down to the Chicago Stadium to play. And I'm like, hey, Michael, I'm calling my bookie. I'm putting what you owe me on Cleveland tonight. He goes, I'll tell you what, I bet you we beat Cleveland by 20 and I score more than 40 for what I owe you. I'm like, done. Michael scores 53 and they win by 26 or 28. It was sick.
Oh, that's incredible. Wow.
The man is truly one of the best athletes. And probably the biggest competitor that I've ever met or played with or have been around in my life. No question about it.
So we recently had Darren McCarty on the podcast as well. I know, you know, D-Mac is one of those hockey guys, and you had a comment before we actually started recording here. You're just glad you never fought him, you know, in your playing career. It's as tough as they come, but he said that during the year that they won the Stanley Cup, I think in 97, they were 17-1 on days when they played golf, you know, in between games or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
Is that something you guys, you know, throughout your career that you guys would do as well on the road, in the playoffs, whatever it may be, just to get away?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, us golf nuts, like there was a time in 1996, Bernie Nichols and I, we were playing in the first round against Colorado. And we were starting in Colorado. So we flew out there, played game one. We lost game one. We had a day in between. So Bernie Nichols and I, actually went to Craig Stadler's house, and he took us out to Castle Pines in Colorado, and we're getting ready to leave, and Craig Stadler yells at his son saying, Kevin, come on, we're gonna go play golf. And Kevin's like, oh man, I don't want to play golf, I hate golf. That's Kevin Stadler saying that. This is a 13-year-old Kevin Stadler saying, Dad, I hate golf. I don't want to play golf.
Wow.
So myself, Bernie Nichols, Craig Stadler, and Kevin Stadler played 36 the day in between games. And Kevin Stadler, who didn't want to play, I think shot 70. Turns out that he's going to that sport that he hated, golf, he became a pro in. Just crazy stuff like that. We used to play all the time. I mean, that's really keeps your mind away from the game. And I thought I played better when my mind was free of thinking about it for too long. Back to McCarty. I've never played with him, but he's always tried to get me to get him into the Tahoe tournament. But I could never do it. I hated it. So.
Wow. See, and Jeremy, you know, I want to just close with this because I know you're eating lunch and you know, you're a busy guy, but you were just talking about golf there and even how much you've played over the years during your playing days, after your playing days, how much you love playing here in Detroit. In closing, what would you say just about, I guess, the game of golf overall in terms of, you know, your relationship with golf over all these years? It really is a sport that you play your whole life.
It is.
You know, obviously everyone knows you for hockey, but it seems like you really do have a strong passion for golf as well.
It's my biggest passion right now in all of sports. And, you know, there's something about golf that it teaches you so many different things. It teaches you to be honest. It teaches you to be a good competitor. A good sport. It allows you to create a lot of friendships. You get a lot of business deals done on the golf course. I think even as a parent, you know, to be able to do something with your son or your daughter that you can all share a passion for, that that really there aren't many sports or things that everybody can do together that can be so motivating and so addicting. Like, you know as well as I do, when you might hit 10 or 15 skull shots and duffs and double bogeys all over the place. You
get, I do that all the time. Yeah.
You hit that 18th hole and you hit a beautiful shot and you make birdie. And guess what? You're coming back to play again, and you can play over and over and over. And for me, there's just so many friendships that you can create. And, you know, whether it's the 19th hole afterwards, playing, talking about your shots, talking about your game, you know, exchanging a couple dollars back and forth at the 19th hole, and having that competitive mode still in you, because that's where I get my competitive juices out, is on the golf course nowadays. And it's such a good relief, and really something that I tell everybody they should pick up the game, because it's so therapeutic, and it could also put you in the mental house too, because it's so crazy. That's what I love about it.
And Sully and I made a mistake. We should have poured a cocktail for ourselves before we got started with this interview.
Yes.
You're enjoying it. What looks like a nice little margarita.
We can grab one here in the office.
We easily could do that, but. On the course, what's the go-to drink for Jeremy Roenick?
So it's changed. It used to be beer. Then it went to vodka. I mean, tequila. Now it's a little vodka soda. I'll have one before I tee off, and then one after nine, I'm good to go. So.
And then shots every nine as well, right? Come on.
When I'm with the boys in Detroit, it's like every hole. So.
Well, that's how we do it here.
That's how we do it. Jeremy, we love it. Hey, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. You would love to obviously chat again when you're back in Indianwood or back in the area as well. And thank
Absolutely.
You for coming on. And thank you also for the kind words about Michigan golf. That's awesome to hear. And for all that you do. Thank you.
I love everybody I've ever met in Michigan, I've loved. So, you know, I will be back there, and I better see you guys. And anytime you want me to join you guys again, just ask Planer.
Done. Done.
All right.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy.
Appreciate it.
All right.
All right, guys. Great to talk
Cheers.
To you.
There you go, Kyle. Jeremy Roenick with a cocktail in hand at the, you know, talking about Michigan golf. It's awesome.
See, that's our kind of guy right there, okay? And it also shows what a life he leads, because we pull up the video immediately, and what does he do? He pans to where he's sitting. And the view that he has of all these palm trees and the ocean, incredible. I really
am. And I think, honestly, Kyle, that's sweet, too, where, you know, thank you to Chris Blaine once again. Seriously, can we give a quick shout-out to Chris Blaine for getting Jeremy on with
yes,
us?
That's thank
awesome.
You, Chris.
And I think that it was just cool to, of course, hear the stories about President Trump. Of course, hear the stories about golf with Michael Jordan. That is honestly, and I know everyone has a cool golf story, that story about Michael Jordan is one of the single coolest golf stories I have ever heard. And I'm not exaggerating there. That is just incredible. And you know what? One thing too, Kyle, just real quick that I think is awesome. We talk about it all the time. We probably say it too much that Michigan's a golf state, you know, with the exception of a few outlets and people that Michigan golf is a very underserved audience. But it's really awesome to hear Jeremy talk about how much he even enjoys Michigan golf too.
And we didn't butter him up for that either.
No.
You know, we didn't prep him and say, no. Jeremy, we need you to come on. We need you to have a margarita, and we need you to tell us how sick all the courses are in the state of Michigan. He literally just brought it up. And, you know, the fact that he knows too, and we should have asked this because we've been asking everyone recently, but Indian Wood new course or Indian Wood old course, I bet he's preferential to the old. But
yeah.
I love that. I mean, golf – dude, it brings people together. He's bringing up courses that are in various states, whether it be Colorado, Arizona. I guarantee there's people that are in this group that have traveled there and probably played those courses as well. That's fantastic stuff.
No, it is. And again, that's really cool. We appreciate him coming on. Real quick, by the way, Kyle, just to I want to mention this because, as we mentioned, Chris Blaine of Indian Wood had reached out. He listens to the podcast and generously offered to get Jeremy on. If there's anyone else listening right now, we have a great lineup of guests coming. But if you have any ideas for guests, or maybe someone you think would be a good guest, maybe it's yourself on our podcast, please get a hold of us. Let us know. And as always, utilize that text list. That's MDG to 545454. And another thing real quick, Kyle, before we finish up here, I think that, you know, one thing that I love to see locally is all of the really great invitationals that go on here at all these different courses. We famously talk about my 79 at the Meadowbrook Invitational this summer, right?
I hadn't heard about that. Yeah.
but I think it's cool because a lot of these invitationals, I've noticed, and not everyone's Jeremy Roenick or some celebrity, obviously, but you really do get a lot of people in the game of golf that move apart over the years, but you still keep friendships and you travel back into town, maybe even out of state for invitationals. That's something cool, both on the public and private course level with invitationals, being able to get people, get your buddies in from out of town and create those relationships over the years where you're coming back every year to play at a course that your buddy's at.
Well, it's that. I think it's Roenick said it best. It's the competition too, I think. Like it's a way, Sully, you played football, you know, you almost made it to the NFL. You know, I played high school basketball, you know, we're very competitive guys, but like golf truly is, especially if you have money on the line or you're betting with your buddies, pride is out there, or you're betting drinks after on the 19th hole or something like that. There's nothing like stuffing a shot to 3 feet. And if you make that putt, you end your friend's, you know, round or whatever. You close them out and you get the victory. Yeah. That to me is as good as anything you can do in golf.
Let alone, as Jeremy said, a bet with, oh, I don't know, the president of the United States that he can't get on in two on a par five and to stick that to 10 feet. That's got to be one of the most incredible feelings ever. But speaking of invitationals, speaking of incredible feelings, you know who goes to a ton of invitationals now and does work before the invitational? That's Tricovery. Because Tricovery travels around. And by the way, if you are a course listener to this and you want to have Tricovery come out on a complimentary level to, do some massage and stretching before the invitational begins, check it out. TRI-covery.com. And Kyle, as we were even talking about last week, there's been a lot of Metro Detroit golfers who have taken advantage of the golf special that they're running right now.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't like to think about it because when you play golf, you want to go out and have a good time and screw around, but you need your body to cooperate with you. I think that's really important. I've learned that over the last couple of years now that I'm a little bit older. And Tricovery, I mean, they really do get your body loose. They get your body feeling better so you can properly rotate through the ball and hit some bombs out there, you know, deep, just shy of the green. That's what Tricovery is all about.
Like I do, right?
Playing. Exactly. They want you playing and performing at your absolute best. They got multiple locations, one in Novi, one in Royal Oak. So you got to be in close proximity to either. But most of all, I love the fact that they're customizing a program specific for Metro Detroit golfers. So if you haven't looked them up, you haven't followed them on social media, make sure you do so. That's TRI-covery.com.
As always, thank you everyone for listening to the Metro Detroit Golfers podcast. And Kyle, I know it sounds cliche. We always say it to people, but it's so true. Make sure you do subscribe. Make sure you do leave a review. And ultimately, and most importantly, make sure you send us some friends as well.
No, 100%. Another great episode. What an interview, honestly. The quote from Roenick, now that's power. Incredible. We'll leave you right there. We'll leave you with that. Metro Detroit Golfers Podcast. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Metro Detroit Golfers Podcast. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and keep giving Sully and Bogey a hard time.
Powered by our presenting sponsor, Hall Financial, and also Tricovery Massage and Flexibility.